نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. The Sahabi we will discuss tonight inshallah. His name is Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi radiyallahu ta'ala an. Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi radiyallahu ta'ala an. The ulama have written regarding him that ishtara al-akhirata bid-dunya. Sa'id bin Amir, if you look at his life and how he behaved, how he conducted himself, and the love he had for Allah and for Jannat and Akhirat as compared to dunya. So they say he actually purchased the Akhirat in exchange of the dunya. He gave away the dunya and he purchased the Akhirat. وَآثَرَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ عَلَىٰ سِوَاهُمَا. And he gave preference to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over anybody besides Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after he had embraced Islam, and there's a beautiful incident what led to him getting Iman. We'll discuss that shortly inshallah. But when he became a Sahabi and he lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course he adopted the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had in him what you call sidq and taqwa. He was a very honest, upright person, very sincere. And he had the taqwa and piety, like just like the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een. But in his case particularly, you find that he was so sincere that people like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala would ask him for advice and they would listen very attentively to his advice. So when Umar radiallahu ta'ala becomes the Khalifa, then Sa'id bin Amir visits him and he addresses him. He says, Ya Umar, usika an takhsha Allah fi an-nas wa la takhsha an-nas fi Allah. Beautiful advice. Very bold. Umar, you may be Amir al-Mu'mineen, but I'll just give you an advice that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the matter of the people. Don't fear the people. Don't fear the people and ignore the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill the rights of the citizens. But don't become overwhelmed with any particular person or any citizen and then you become lax in your obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also in fulfilling and discharging the duties of the remaining of the people. وَأَلَّا يُخَالِفَ قَوْلُكَ فِعْلَكَ. And let it not be that what you say opposes your actions. In other words, you must practice what you preach. Now he's a leader, he's Amir al-Mu'mineen. And Sa'id bin Amir is giving him this advice. And then he tells him, Ya Umar, أَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِمَنْ وَلَّاكَ اللَّهُ أَمْرَهُ مِنْ بَعِيدِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَقَرِيبِهِمْ. Allah has entrusted you with the affairs of the Muslims, far and wide, near ones also, those who are far away, away from Medina Munawwara, and were living maybe in Kufa, in Syria, and so many other places. O Umar, pay full attention to the affairs. Love for them what you love for yourself, and what you love for your family. وَأَحِبَّ لَهُمْ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِكَ. You like something for your wife and children? Like that for them also. وَكْرَهْ لَهُمْ مَا تَكْرَهُ لِنَفْسِكَ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِكَ. What you don't like for yourself, what you don't like for your family, for your children, for your wives, then you must dislike for others also. And plunge into haq and truth. Of course, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he always upheld haq and truth. But Sayyid ibn Amir is just giving him that advice and tells him that go and follow the truth. وَلَا تَخَفِّ اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمْ. Don't fear the reproaching of any reproacher, rebuker regarding the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are discharging the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu wa ta'ala utters his humility. He says, وَمَن يَسْتَطِيعُ ذَلِكَ يَا سَعِيدُ. Sa'id, who will be able to do all these things you are saying? So difficult. Sa'id replies, رَجُلٌ مِثْلُكَ عُمَرْ
A person of your caliber, he can do it. Allah has chosen you. Mimman wallahumu Allahu amra ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has chosen you to fulfill the affairs of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is no person between him, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, Allah's direct nusrat and madad will come upon you. After some time, Umar radiallahu anhu calls him. Say, "Oh Sa'id, I need assistance. I need to keep some people and post some people as governors in various cities now. Islam is spreading," and his era was the golden era of Islam, Umar radiallahu anhu. Islam spread far and wide. So there was a need now of having governors posted by him to discharge the various rights and different laws and ahkam of Shariat and to teach the people of those places. So he says, "Sa'id, I'm going to keep you in charge of the people of Hims." Sa'id says, no, Umar, please. "You're going to absolve me of this duty. I don't have the capability." Umar says, "I take the name of Allah. I take qasam in Allah. I will never leave you. You people are very clever. You put me as Amir al-Mu'mineen. I must become Amir al-Mu'mineen. I must look after everybody's affairs. Now when I'm asking you to assist me, now you want to absolve yourself from this duty? I will never leave you. Oh Sa'id, you have to go to Hims and you will be in charge, you'll be governor on my behalf." So he accepts. As he is leaving, he says, "I'm going to fix for you some stipend or some amount, some money as a wage, as a salary." So Sa'id says, "Wama af'alu bihi ya Amir al-Mu'mineen." Amir al-Mu'mineen, what must I do with this extra salary you're giving me? "فَإِنَّ عَطَائِي مِن بَيْتِ الْمَالِ يَزِيدُ عَنْ حَاجَتِي." Whatever you have given me, it is sufficient for me. It is more than sufficient. More than my requirements. So he does not take that extra salary. This is his ikhlas. This is his giving preference to akhirat, to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the dunya. And he goes to Hims. After some time, a group of people from Hims, they come to Medina. And they are people who are very reliable. Umar radiallahu anhu, he is the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So he asks them, "Where are you coming from?" They say, "Hims." They say, "Okay, can you just jot down the names of the fuqara of Hims, the poor people?" So they enlist a list, they give him some names there. Amongst them is Sa'id bin Amir. Umar asks, "Waman Sa'id ibn Amir?" "Which Sa'id bin Amir is this one?" So they say, "Amiruna, our Amir, our governor." Umar says, "Amirukum faqir?" "Is your Amir a poor person?" They say, "Yes." So Umar radiallahu anhu immediately, the historians say, "Fabaka Umar," he cries, حَتَّى بَلَّلَتْ دُمُوعُهُ لِحْيَتَهُ. He cried so much that his tears made his beard wet. Then he takes 1,000 dinars, gold coins, puts it in a little bag, sends one of his messengers, "Go and give this to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and there's a letter also. Go and give it to Sa'id bin Amir in Hims." So he goes there. Sa'id bin Amir is sitting there, and his note comes with his bag of coins. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا. He looks at it. And then he says, "إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ." When do we read it? When some musibat comes. His wife is sitting not far away. She says, "مَا شَأْنُكَ يَا سَعِيدُ?" "Sa'id, what has happened? أَمَاتَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ?" First thing her mind went to, looks like Umar has passed away. Amir al-Mu'mineen is gone. He says, no. "بَلْ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ." Even worse than that. So she says, then perhaps the Muslim army has been defeated in some battle. أُصِيبَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ فِي وَقْعَةٍ. He says, no. Even worse than that has taken place. Now she is thinking, worse than Amir al-Mu'mineen passing away, worse than the Muslim being defeated. So she says, "وَمَا عَظَمُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ." Okay, you tell me, what's worse than that? He says, listen very carefully. دَخَلَتْ عَلَيَّ الدُّنْيَا. دَخَلَتْ عَلَيَّ الدُّنْيَا لِتُفْسِدَ آخِرَتِي. He says, dunya has entered upon me to destroy my akhirat. And he says, وَحَلَّتِ الْفِتْنَةُ فِي بَيْتِي. Today fitna has come into my house. And we talk about fitna, we'll talk perhaps some bad sin has come into her house, a bad deed. He is talking about halal gold coins has come into his house. He regards that to be a test, a fitna, a trial. It's going to take him away from Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's going to make him ghafil of Allah, make him ghafil of akhirat. He's now going to be inclined towards dunya. He doesn't tell his wife exactly what this fitna he is talking about. He says, this fitna has come down and this dunya has come upon me to destroy my akhirat. So she says, then get rid of it, innocently. Get rid of it. So he says, are you going to assist me? Can you help me in getting rid of this fitna, eradicating this fitna from our house? She says, why not? I will help you. Then he takes off this dinar, this gold coins, and he tells them, now distribute this amongst the poor people. Not a single gold coin he used for himself. Yet he was poor, absolutely poor. After a few months more that went by, one day Umar radiallahu ta'ala, now he used to go and visit the different cities. He was Amir al-Mu'mineen. Even in Madinah Munawwara, late at night, Umar radiallahu ta'ala would patrol the streets to check any person is in need, any person in difficulty, if there's any problem, somebody doing something wrong. So he would reprimand the person. He actually goes on this journey of his. Now which president of which any country goes to each town to see exactly what's happening to the people. He goes himself. When he goes, he gets the people around, a few of them, Hims. Hims was known as Kuwaifa also, small Kufa. And the reason for this is, the people of Kufa generally would keep on complaining about their rulers. They had this bad habit. They were never happy. So the people of Hims also began to do the same thing. They would complain about their amirs and their governors. People like Sa'id bin Amir, such a great Sahabi. So pious, so simple. You can't find any fault in his life. Yet the people even found fault in him and they told Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, we've got few complaints. You say, what is it? And Umar radiallahu ta'ala is thinking that Sa'id bin Amir, such a good person. He makes dua, oh Allah, do not dash my hopes and my good thoughts regarding Sa'id bin Amir. I've got husna dhan regarding him. He's a good person. Oh Allah, don't make it be such that now he's exposed and his evil deeds come out and become apparent to me. Oh Allah, make it be such that he is on the right. This is the dua Umar makes in his heart. So he says, okay, what's your people's problem? What's the complaint? You see, لا يخرج إلينا حتى يتعالى النهار. Sa'id bin Amir, he doesn't come out early in the morning to us. He comes out after a few hours, he comes out late out of his house to do his work. Umar then addresses Sa'id, is this true? You should have been coming out early in the morning. Why do you come out a few hours later? Sa'id bin Amir keeps quiet and he says, Umar, I have not wished to really mention this, but since you insist, then I have to say that I've got no khadim at home. There's nobody at home to cook the food, to see to the family, etc. So I myself, I wake up early in the morning or after Fajr Salat, I don't go to sleep and I begin making the roti and the bread for some food for the day. And after all this dough is kneaded and the bread is baked, then immediately after that I make wudu and then I come out to serve the people. This is the reason, because I've got no khadim. Umar says, okay, no problem. Okay, what's your next complaint? They said, إِنَّهُ لَا يُجِيبُ أَحَدًا بِلَيْلِ. Late at night, sometimes we find that Sa'id bin Amir is not available. Doesn't come out to see the needs of the people. Umar says, okay, now what do you have to say, Sa'id? He says, again, Umar, I wish to keep this a secret, but since you insist, he says, the entire day I'm with the people. I've made the day, جَعَلْتُ النَّهَارَ لِلْمَخْلُوقِ, for the people. I made the day for them. وَجَعَلْتُ اللَّيْلَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The entire night I have made solely for my Allah, in which I take out my musalla and I am making the tahajjud and ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar says, okay. What's your next complaint? He says that in a month there is one particular day he doesn't come out at all. Now imagine a man is giving his life for them. They expect him not to have a single day rest. Every day he must be serving the people. So Umar says, okay, now what's the problem, Sa'id? What's your answer for this? He says, Umar, as I mentioned, I don't have any khadim. And I don't have much clothing.
The only garment that I have is what you see on my body. And this one particular day, I've got to wash my clothes thoroughly. And I've got to wait for it to dry. By the time it dries, the entire day is gone. And that is why I cannot come out to the people. This was such a simple life today. For us, it is mind-boggling. We can't understand. That look at the Sahabi, how he's behaving this way. So simple, doesn't have enough clothes, sufficient clothing. But these were people who understood deen. They understood deen. They stayed in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dunya meant nothing to them. Nothing. And therefore they were not greedy. They didn't want more and more and more and get caught in this chakkar of dunya which is finishing every person. Serious, you see in the hospitals. People who are millionaires passing away or passed away. People who left behind palaces and empires. Took nothing with them. Absolutely nothing. Sahaba understood this. And therefore, they lived a simple life. And the fourth thing, what's the fourth complaint? They say, you know, sometimes he sits with us, suddenly he falls unconscious. Now what's this? He's supposed to be Amir, and he falls unconscious. So Umar says, oh, Saeed, now what's the problem? Why do you fall unconscious? So he gives the incident which he had witnessed before he accepted Islam. It's a very long incident. I don't know if we have time even. I will just try and make it very brief. He says, there was a Sahabi of Rasulullah by the name of Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala. There were three Sahaba. In fact, there was a whole delegation, an army of Sahaba. Not an army, a very small army. Plus, minus, just over 10 or 15 of them. A small regiment, a small army that was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Amir was Asim bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala. And they were sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to check on a certain clan. But they were ambushed. So they went up to the hill and they sought refuge there. But these, the enemy began to, or the enemy had surrounded them. And they told him to come down and they promised them, they said, okay, we'll give you a protection amnesty. Asim bin Thabit, he says, no. I will never take the word of a non-believer. He says, I will fight till the end. So they shoot an arrow and he is killed. The other person, two others, they come down. Or three of them. As they come down, the enemy immediately take the bow and arrows. They cut off the string and they tie their hands. So he says, oh, see now what has happened. They have lied to us. They have deceived us. So the third person, he tries to escape or he says, I'm not going to come with you, and they kill him. So there's two other Sahaba who left and the others are killed. Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala and Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala. Zayd bin Dathina, he's put onto the ground after some time and then he's asked, أَتُحِبُّ أَن تَكُونَ فِي بَيْتِكَ وَمُحَمَّدٌ فِي مَكَانِكَ. Don't you wish that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is put in your place and you should be resting in peace at home? He says, I cannot even tolerate a thorn pricking and hurting my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You talking about him being in my place? Anyway, they kill him. But Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala, he is taken as a captive. He is in one of the homes. And there's an incident where one day he's sitting and one of the women folk of the home suddenly see the little toddler sitting on his lap. And this Khubayb was tied, he was fettered, he was chained. So they see this little toddler, and also in Khubayb's hand was a razor. He had asked for a razor blade, obviously to remove his hair or whatever it was. But his hand was tied, and they find that this toddler is there, and now he's unfettered, there's no rope, nothing tying him. He's got the razor in his hand, he's got the toddler. So that lady immediately, she became very apprehensive. She became very fearful. He looks at her, he says, nothing to fear. I will never do anything to this child, I will never harm this child. The child had innocently come onto his lap. And the same lady says that I had seen him having a cluster of grapes or bunch of grapes, whereas it was not even the season of grapes at the time. And after she embraced Islam, she says, Allah's qasam, it was rizq, rozi, that Allah had sustained him. Because impossible, his hands were tied, where he's going to go out and get grapes, And it wasn't even the time for grapes even. Allah had provided. This is how Allah provides.
Sometimes we have fikr, worry about the prisoners languishing in the jails who are fighting on haqq and on iman. And we feel that pain. But we have high hopes that Allah is not going to make them suffer. Allah provides for them unseen sources.
Nevertheless, this Khubayb is then finally taken to being execution. He's taken to Tan'im. And he sees there are scores of people. Who's saying this? Sa'id bin Amir. And he says, I watch everybody now. Everybody is pushing and jostling and want to see this whole tamasha. And as they are about to execution him, he says, Da'ni usalli rak'atayn. Give me a chance. I just need two rak'at salat.
Now Sa'id bin Amir is not a Muslim at that time. But he says, I watched him. I observed his salat.
Ya la husnuhuma. Oh, what a beautiful salat. What a beautiful two rak'ats.
And then just before he was execution, he said, Wallah. Wallah, destroy the enemy. Allahumma qtulhum bidada. Wallah, kill each one of these enemy. And inform my Nabi Kareem Sussman what they have done to me. Wallah, don't spare any one of them.
And he says, this picture of him mentioning this dua and then being execution, it stayed in my mind. And every time it plays in my mind, I fall unconscious. Every time I think of this picture, what a gruesome way he was killed, it plays in my mind and I fall unconscious. And this is the reason why Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is the reason why I fall unconscious. Umar radiallahu anhu tells the people of Hims, you've got no proper complaints against him. So you go, Sa'id bin Amir is then given some extra money. Sa'id bin Amir radiallahu anhu, after receiving the extra money, exactly what he did previously, he tells his khadim, they take all those monies and give it to all those people who are deserving in Hims. And he keeps nothing for himself. So he was that person who gave preference to Akhirat. He gave preference to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq and hidayat to emulate the Sahaba ikram, those who stayed in the suhbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They understood what is iman, the injunctions of iman. They had the proper ta'aleem from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They made sure that the ibadat was correct. The salat, the zakat, the hajj, the umrah. The manner in which they dealt with people, the mu'amalat, the mu'asharat, the akhlaq. Therefore they were guiding us. They were human beings like us. Yes, you find sahaba made mistakes. They made errors. They committed offense. They made sin, but they made tawbah, istighfar. Immediately a sahabi makes a sin immediately. And this sin, this tawbah was not like ours. One hand we got tasbih, other hand we're still looking at the haram. They made sincere tawbah, they would cry and cry and cry. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the title of radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. But if we follow suit, we follow and try and emulate the sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, even though we may not become perfect, but inshallah we will find some light, some guidance in our lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us like how He blessed the sahaba ikram, inshallah. We were discussing the Surah Yusuf tafsir. There are so many tafsirs and so many different tafsir written on Surah Yusuf. And each ayat, and if you're going to give the tafsir of each word, then I can promise you we will never ever finish the Surah. In fact, 2-3 weeks have passed and we haven't even finished that one or two pages still. So we will just suffice to just mention we already know the story. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the idea is not just to relate the story. It's ahsan al-qasas for what? Because it is going to give us guidance. And I mentioned in the beginning, it was actually sent down to give Rasulullah some that comfort, that solace. Persecuted by the mushrikeen, by the kuffar. Taif incident. And so many other incidents in his life. He was persecuted, he was harmed, sahaba were harmed. Allah wants to give him that comfort. Allah wants to give him that solace. Allah wants to give him that sabr. So therefore Allah mentioned the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and every incident, every step we see, there is some comfort. It strengthens the heart of not only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sahaba ikram, but each one of us. Each one of us now, because we're interacting more with people. The different type of question, the different type of problems that people have, we find each one requires that moral support. Each person requires some dua to strengthen him or her. Each person requires genuine guidance from Quran and Sunnah. And this Surah Yusuf has chosen us. Look at Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What sacrifices, what problems he has to undergo. You know, we all want life to be a bed of roses. I myself, I wish I could wake up every morning with no problems in the world, and the night also, and he carries on everything smooth sailing. Yes, we ask Allah for afiyat. Allah gives it to us. But there will be those hurdles. We all go through. Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali, he didn't have a life of bed of just roses. There were hurdles, there were obstacles he had to go over. There were oil patches. He had to make sure he didn't slip through that. There were people who deliberately come and put those walls and obstacles and make life a misery for us. But this is what Rasulullah meant himself. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, own family, his own blood brothers, they became those thorns in his path. But what happened after that? Allah made those same thorns roses for him. The same people who at once will be your enemy, after some time Allah will make them your bosom friends. But the idea is not to become ghafir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn your attention away from Allah and lose all hope. So many people actually want to commit suicide. But if you really look at the root problem, it's something petty. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, make Allah ta'ala, may He enable us to say the right things, the things that are going to benefit us inshallah.
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and in his brothers were signs, there were lessons, there were ibrat, there were izat, there were lessons for those who asked. And I mentioned the Yahud had asked the question, the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, just to test Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And whoever has to know about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and the various incidents and the lessons, Allah says there are plenty lessons. إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ حَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَ. What was their problem? Why were they jealous of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? They said, Yusuf undoubtedly and his brother Binyamin. I'm not going to go into the whole history that who their mother was. And Layya was the mother of the 10 sons and then she passed on. And Rahil was the mother of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and Binyamin. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam and married first to Layya, and then when she passed on, then he married her sister Rahil, who was the mother. So the father was common, mothers were different. 10 brothers, their mother was Layya, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and Binyamin was younger than Yusuf, their mother was Rahil. So the same father, but the mothers were different. Nevertheless, they said that Yusuf and his brother Binyamin, they are more beloved to our father Yaqub than us. All the time he's more concerned and showing more attention and love to them. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةً. Whereas we are a strong jamaat, strong group, we are assisting our father all day, who's doing all the hard work. These two young boys, they're doing nothing and they're getting all the pampering and we're getting the scolding and shouting. It's not fair. إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Verily our father is in open error. This dhalal don't mean misguided away from deen, ma'adallah, he was a nabi of Allah. But they found, they felt that he was favoring the other two, showing them more attention and more love. Now it is important to understand that love is something that is beyond a person's control. When it comes to other material things of the world, one has to share equally amongst his children. Rahman bin Bashir radiallahu anhu says, my father Bashir came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, Ya Rasulullah, I want you to be a witness. I'm giving this property, this land to Bashir, to Nu'man, my son. Nabi Karim some happened to ask him, have you got any other children? He said, yes, I've got other sons also. Have you given them equally? He says, no. He said, then don't make me a gawah, a witness on zulam. What you're doing is zulam. Give them also equally first, then I'll be a witness. What about them? He poses another question to Bashir. He says, Bashir, أتحبونا, أتحبوا, do you wish that they be equal to you in obedience? Do you want all your sons to equally obey you? He says, yes, why not? He says, then you should equally give them, each one of them. This detailed masail, ulama and fuqaha have written something. This is the general rule that you should give equally to your children. But there is, now we're not going to go into the fiqhi masail, otherwise we will be confused for no reason, but this is the general usul.
There are kitabs and fuqaha have gone to detail if a person is very, very in dire need, and other sons, mashallah, and daughters have got plentiful, and his one daughter, she's divorced and she's at home, and now you require to give her more. That's another masala on its own. If you're talking about generally, you're supposed to give your children equally. But when it comes to love, there's something beyond your control. Rasulullah SAW loved all his wives, but sometimes the love for Aisha was more. Now that's not something within a person's control. So Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, and the fact also was that these two were younger, much younger than the others, and therefore he required to give them the extra attention and special attention. So now they make up a plan. And what is it? This is all jealousy. When a person is jealous, what does he do? What's the desire? The desire is that that person who has got that ni'mah, that bounty, he must be deprived totally from that ni'mah that he's enjoying. That ni'mah, that bounty must be snatched away from him. This is a very, very, very common problem. Any mentor you go to, any alim, and you ask him the problems, and this is talking about hasad, this is a very common malady, and which is not only common amongst the ordinary people, but amongst the learned, the ulama as well. In fact, even found more amongst the ulama and scholars. May Allah Ta'ala protect us, all of us, myself included. May Allah protect us, may Allah protect us, may Allah protect us. Insan is like that. We see somebody with some ni'mat, perhaps somebody got a beautiful car now, and he's enjoying that ni'mat of the car, and now the desire comes in our heart that, Ya Allah, you must take away that car from him. Ma'adallah, his car must meet up with an accident. It must get smashed. It must get stolen. And I must be blessed with that type of car. This is hasad, where you desire that the zawal of the ni'mat from the person, it must go away from him totally. And you must be given that ni'mat. Person is doing a lot of good work, dini work. So the other person feels that nobody is coming to me. Nobody is into my bayan. Why are so many people going there? So that hasad comes in. Nobody must go there. Everybody must come to me. Person has got a position. He has given a post in the company, or at school, or the madrasa, or the masjid, or anywhere. Now others may feel, if we were so long here and we didn't get that post, he came yesterday, he's got that post. Now the hasad starts. Shaitan increases the hasad in the person. And then he desires that he must be taken, that ni'mat must be given, taken away from him. Person is very handsome or very beautiful. Very common amongst ladies. They like to impress everybody else. So that lady has got very nice outfit and her cloak is very beautiful. So now the hasad comes into the others. That nice, if when she's ironing her clothes, the nice hole comes away, must get burnt. So she mustn't be able to wear that for the nikah. Or when she makes those nice delicacies and her cakes and her biscuits and her food, always very delicious. So the desire is when she's carrying that cake or taking that tray, she must slip and fall and everything gets smashed and fall on the floor. And then inside you enjoy that thing. In other words, you don't want to see that person in getting any praise. Or you don't want to see that person enjoying that ni'mat. Like this we can go on. We all know our circles. We all know our problems and where we fit in. So many times it happens. Person has got abundant wealth. Now it's burning us. Or it's December. And we see that person is so busy. His shop is so busy. People are coming in and customers so much from the morning. Now it's itching us. It's burning us. How much is he making? Why not so much business in my shop? Or my factory? So the desire comes that Allah must take away that ni'mat. And must bless me with that. That is hasad. Inna al-hasada يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الحطب. حسد. Rasulullah says حسد eats up. أكل يأكل means to eat, to consume. We eat up food, devour. حسد devours all the good deeds of a person, just as fire burns and consumes wood. And after there is no wood left, what happens? That fire begins to eat up its own flames. So this is such a bimari that Rasulullah has warned us of. The very first guna took place in the heaven was hasad. What was it? Iblis, shaitan said, oh, khalaqtani min nar, khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire and Adam from sand. I must bow down to him. No, Pride is one sin. And the other is hasad. Ya Allah, why are you giving him all his bounties? Why are you making him the ashraful makhluqat? Why are you giving him such prominence, such izzat? I should be getting. And the first sin that's committed in the earth also, Qabil, who killed Habil. Lengthy incident. But this was the first offense committed in the earth also. Rasulullah SAW, jadu was done upon him. Why? Because of hasad, jealousy. There was a king, and he had his right-hand minister enjoying the closeness of the king, and of course all the other benefits. There was another person who was very jealous of this. So now he makes up a plan, devises a plan or a ploy, and he says, I need to eliminate this person. He mustn't be in this position anymore. So he comes and whispers something in the king's ear, and he says, you know what, Hazrat, this person here, he's suffering from a very terrible sickness. It's called halitosis, means bad breath. And you'll find tomorrow he's going to stand very far away from, or he's going to put his hand covering his mouth. And then he goes to that person and he tells him something. The next day this person comes, king watches. He says, true, he's holding his breath, holding it far away from him, away from the king. Oh, sorry. This minister had told the king that this person thinks you, O king, you have got this bimari. You've got a bad breath. And therefore he'll be putting his, covering his nose and moving his face away from you. How can he think such so bad of you, O king? King said, is that true? Okay, I'll see tomorrow. So the king observed. And he saw the next morning this person came and covering his face and nose and not looking at the king directly. So the king writes out a note. Said, take this and give it to the certain person, soldier of mine. So this person takes this note and he thinks that perhaps today again the king is going to give me a nice lump sum of money. So he's happy and he's running. And as he's going, he meets the same person, this jealous person. He asks him, where are you going? Oh, Badshah Salamat, he's written out for me a nice big amount and reward, and I'm going just to collect my money. So he says, no, okay, no. Somehow he manages to take away that note from him, and he tells him, please just give it to me and you go away. He says, okay, no problem. So he goes to this person, the jealous person now goes to that man, the soldier, gives him this, looks at it, takes out his sword, about to execution him. He says, no, what are you doing? I came to collect that reward. He says, what's the reward? Badshah has written, and I cannot go against his orders, that you are an evil person, you have broken his commands, and I must kill you. So he kills him. Now this, the other person who, the Mahsud, who the person was jealous of, the minister, the next day he comes back to the king, sees him, surprised, what are you doing here now? He says, didn't I give you that note to be, and he explained, he said, no, and the way this person took away this note from me, the king says, okay, then why do you think so bad of me and think that I've got this bimari, this sickness, and cover your face? He says, oh king, that person had given me raw onions and garlic to eat, and I began to burp, and I had this bad smell in my own mouth. I didn't want to offend you, and therefore I was turning my face away from you, lest that you become offended by my bad smell. Now see, what was the plan? But how Allah Ta'ala does. Therefore, our mashayikh say, hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Why are you burning in the fire of jealousy? Why are you burning in the fire of jealousy? Kaffi afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? You find a person who's jealous, oh, all the time in agony. Hi, afsos, oh, in pain, in misery. The person who he is envious and jealous of, that person is enjoying himself. But the jealous person all the time is bitter, he's biting his nails, he can't see that person happy. So in reality, he is taking his palms and rubbing his palms like a person who is anxious, person who is eating himself up, that agonizing pain that he is suffering. So why are you rubbing your hands of afsos, of despondency? You can't see that person prosperous. You can't see that person more successful than you. Khuda ki faisla se tum kyun ho naraz? Why are you unhappy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When Allah wants to give that person
that particular ni'mat, why are you unhappy? This is the decision of Allah. In reality, you are complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in doing so, Jahannam ki taraf se tum kyu chal rahe ho? Why are you now moving towards Jahannam? So see what hasad, where it takes a person. Takes a person towards Jahannam. May Allah ta'ala save us. And therefore, they say, the uqubat, the punishment, the sufferings, the consequences of a hasid, one who has hasad, reaches him before it can even reach the mahsud. Mahsud is a person who you are jealous of. Now, I'm jealous of a certain person. Allah Ta'ala protect us, just as an example. Now, I don't want the ni'mat to be with that person. So, first thing what will happen, what I will suffer, غَمٌ لَا يَنْقَطِعُ. I will be suffering misery which will never come to an end. Because that person will be prosperous. Until that ni'mat doesn't disappear from him, I will always be bitter. And when will that ni'mat go away? Allah knows best. It perhaps might never ever go away from him. So all the time, my whole life, I will be bitter. Can't see the good of the next person. So what's happening? I am suffering myself. And the second one, this musibat that I am going through now, this pain, this suffering, there's no reward for. Any other musibat, any loss, if person says, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he turns to Allah, he makes sabr, he'll be rewarded for it. But this particular musibat, I'm burning, and I can't see that person being prosperous or successful, then this musibat there's no ajr for. And the third consequence is Allah become naraz. Allah becomes displeased with the hasid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes the door of tawfiq. يُغْلَقُ عَلَيْهِ بَابُ التَّوْفِيقِ. In other words, now this hasid does not get the chance of doing good deeds himself. Allah closes the door for him. Allah says, you cannot reach me now. Now look at the consequences of hasad. Now all of us have hasad. So what's the ilaj for it? Many, many ilajes have been given remedies, but just a few common ones what the ulama say. We have to make sincere, sincere dua when you are alone. Cry genuinely, sincerely, for the person who you are envious and jealous of. And make dua, Ya Allah, you make him even more prosperous. And believe that the angel is saying Ameen to your dua. Very difficult. You don't like the man. You don't want him to get the ni'mat. Now you must make sincere dua for him. And don't make dua for yourself. Only make dua for him. Ya Allah, you grant him better. Give him more pious children and give him more money and more properties and more cars and wealth and everything. Once a person does this, then he realizes that all these ni'mat come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dunya is short-lived, our main thing is akhirat. And Allah is the one who gives, Allah is the one who takes away. So there's nothing to be envious of. It's Allah's decision and I must be happy. I must be happy with Allah's decision. And the other thing they say that you must give the person gifts, hadiyah. Normally you only give gift to a person who you love. So now you have to give that person a gift. You have to spend money on him. And before and after you return from a journey, before you leave for a journey and after you return, you should go and make mulaqat of the person. Take his duas. Go to the person, go and meet him. Then at times you must invite him for meals also. Like, come, have. Come join us for some meals. So you invite him for meals. And the other difficult one is, you must actually praise him in the gathering of others. And the other friends and everybody around. Now you must only talk good about that person. What we commonly do, if when we are jealous of any person, and somebody talks about any good of that person, and ask us an opinion, yeah, it's okay. Oh, she's alright. Meaning that we have some reservations. Or we are afraid that that person might just get more prominence than we have. May Allah Ta'ala save us. All the time. Ha, seen, dal. Hasad, keep it in front of us. This is the ilaj, mashayikh, make dua, give the person gifts, invite him for a meal, praise him in the company of others. And then ulama say also, think about the 1,000 other ni'mat that you have and he doesn't have. Think of the ni'mat that we are enjoying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which perhaps that person doesn't have. When you think of all this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from the hasad. So what did they say? To eliminate, exterminate the brother. Uqtulu Yusuf. Kill him. Brothers are making mashwara. Must kill him. Awitrahuhu ardan. Or banish him or throw him into a land, a distant land. What will happen? يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ. Your father's face, in other words, your father will become solely for you. No more Yusuf. Only us. So in other words, we want to enjoy this ni'mat. This ni'mat will be taken away from Yusuf. وَتَكُونُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. After the bad thing we will do, we'll exterminate him, get rid of him. Take care, uske baad, tawbah kar lena. We become pious. This is shaitan. Shaitan prompts you, seduces you, entices you. Make the guna now. Later on you can make tawbah istighfar. Allah is ghafur rahim. قَالَ قَائِلُ مِنْهُمْ لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ. The eldest brother, according to many mufassirin, Yahudha. Yahudha, eldest brother said, no, 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 don't kill Yusuf. وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ. Rather throw him into a deep well. In the depth of, right at the bottom of a well. غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ. What will happen? يَلْتَقِطُهُ بَعْدُ السَّيَّارَةِ. Some travelers, as they will go by, somebody would look for some water and they will find him. They will pick him up. إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. If you really want to exterminate him, if you really want to get rid of him, then we rather do this. So what's the plan? They go to the father. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّ عَلَىٰ يُوسُفُ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاسِحُونَ. Oh father, what's the matter? Why don't you trust us over Yusuf? Let him come with us. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاسِحُونَ. We are well wishes for Yusuf. The word nasihun, nasihat, to well wish. إِرَادَةُ جَمِيعِ الْخَيْرِ الْمَنْسُوحِ لَهُ. Where the person desires all good for the person who is consulting you. Person comes to you asking for advice. Somebody comes, Mawlana, I want to get married to a certain family. Now I know that family is very good, the girl is very pious, everything. But perhaps I want somebody else to get married. I said, no, not a good family. That girl, no good for you. So I haven't wished well for him. We talk about altruism. What is altruism? Where you really genuinely desire the best for that person. You go all out to ensure that that person gets the best. So you say, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاسِحُونَ. Oh, father, we're not going to make harm come to him. We're going to intend all good to come to Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf. أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا. Let him come with us. Send him with us tomorrow. يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. We will take our animals. He'll graze with the sheep. He'll play in the meadows. He needs some outdoor adventure activities. Come on, let him go. He's a young boy. He's growing. Surely it's not haram. Of course not haram. Ulama say that halal entertainment, we can take from this here also. There's no haram thing taking place to run, to play, archery, swimming, horse riding, running races, all that is permissible. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. First is nasihun, we are well-wishes. And then they take such promises, such emphasis. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Arabic grammar. They say, we will be genuine, sincere protectors of Yusuf. Don't worry, nothing, no harm. What does Yaqub al-Ism say? قَالَ إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi says that he had two fears. He said, it grieves me, it will pain me that you'll take away my Yusuf. His mufaraqat, his moving away from me. I will feel his absence. I'm so fond of him. And you know that. So I won't be able to bear this few hours without my Yusuf. Okay, and besides that, I'm worried that the wolf might eat him. Yaqub alayhi salam did not fear that. Yaqub alayhi salam in reality feared that you will kill him. But look at the shafqat the Nabi of Allah has. He's got children. Those are also his blood sons. He's not making a tuhmat on them. Not I fear you're going to kill him. I fear the wolf might come and eat him up. So this is the excuse he gives. What do they say? Alu, oh my father, la inna kalu dhi. The wolf has to come to eat him. Wa nahnu usba. Why is we such a strong jamaat, such young boys, strong? Inna idhin la khasirun. We'll be then useless. What's the use of our strength and our abilities, capabilities? So come on, we are strong, we will look after him. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ. When they took him, finally he had to give in. And the sons take him. Mufassirin have written
that in front of the father, they put him onto the shoulders, one son, then the other son grabbed him, showing love and muhabbat, and carrying him, and swinging him. After they went away from Yaqub alayhi salam's sight, they take this little Yusuf and throw him onto the floor. They say, walk now, you walk. Poor Yusuf is battling, struggling to walk. He goes to one son, to one of his brother, please carry me, help me. Turns away from him, goes to the other, then the other. Like that, he's running behind them, he's panting. And this is what they did. Finally they come, فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ. Now they make this decision, we're going to throw him into the deepness or the depth of the well. Allah says, now, this is where Allah's madad comes. أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. Allah sends wahi to Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. Allah inspires him. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا. One day you will inform them of what they did. And they did not know. Inshallah, next week we'll continue from this. There are so many other important lessons, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make dua. Allah gives us what's beneficial for us. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.